Thank the Lord truly for another opportunity to come up and proclaim God's one and only one plan of salvation. That's all there is, only one way. I just can't help but just, you know, listening to what he says. I can't help. I just can't leave it alone. I got to come back and correct some things. One thing I'd like to say is he made a statement. He said, let me see if I can find it. I'll try to write it down when he made the statement. Something about, he said, that my number one reason for believing is I've experienced it, and we cannot base our religion on what we feel or think. I don't know, but I think I gave you scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture and a couple more scriptures after that. I don't think I said nothing about what I felt. I don't believe in feeling stuff. What I gave you was the Word of God. And I based what my personal experience on the Word of God. I gave you the Word, and then I gave you my testimony. I think I gave you about that much of my testimony, and I gave you about that much of the Word of God. Every Word of God is right. We got to consent to the Word of God. That's what we're here for. Because I give my testimony, I mean, you know, yeah, I believe something. I believe it. I believe it when I see it in the Word of God and it happens in my life. I believe it. And well, maybe you don't understand what you read. Well, when you take that the Word and the Word backs you up, and then you actually got the substance. Like I said the other night, when I had a hole in my thumb, the Word said that God's my healer, and then he said to call for the elders of the church, and I obeyed that. And then that hole, when I closed my eyes with a rotted hole in my thumb, opened my eyes and it's healed. I believed. I believed. I mean, I didn't believe because I saw it. I wouldn't have went to the elders of the church if I didn't believe the Word first. It's just when you believe the Word, something comes behind it. It's a cause and effect. But nevertheless, he made another statement about let's not pray. Let's just study the Scripture and not pray. Let's go to Acts the 8th chapter. I'm gonna show you a man that tried to study the Scripture. Acts the 8th chapter, beginning in verse. We're gonna say. Let's go to verse 26. Now let's go to verse 27. Acts chapter 8, verse 27. I don't have projector screens and I don't have all these things, but the only thing I'm going to give you, I brought my Bible, and I'm going to give you the Word. I'm going to bring the Word of God to you. I hope that's all right. Hope that's okay. And anyway, we got Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. This isn't verse 27, forgive me. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of the treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in the chariot, ready Esaias the prophet, Isaiah. The Spirit said unto Philip, that's why we need the Holy Ghost. You see, that's how we can minister effectively, because you got to have the Spirit. The Spirit said. Now, when Philip had the Holy Ghost, it wasn't just the Word of God in him. The Word and the Spirit bear witness with each other. They won't contradict each other. But the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, understandest what thou readest? Understandest what thou readest? That's what we were told. Let's not pray. Well, we can pray, but let's just study the Scripture. This man was studying the Scripture, but he said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired that Philip would come up and sit with him. And the place of the Scripture which he read was this. And he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb dumb before the shearer, and he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? He didn't have the Holy Ghost. Philip did. And Philip was able to expound that. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 44. Luke 24 and 44 says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Look at verse 45 here. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. They didn't understand the Scriptures.
But he opened it. It took Jesus Christ to open the understanding to understand the Scriptures. The Scriptures. So I say this to you. Before we read, let's pray. Let's pray. It's important. Jesus, when I read this, open my understanding. Because you could be like the Enoch and try to read it and not understand what you read. Understand it without readers? How can I? And the Bible says that Jesus came and opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And it takes Jesus. Let me tell you something. Don't think you can understand this Bible with your carnal, natural mind. The carnal mind cannot receive the things of God. It's enmity to Him. All right? So next time a preacher tells you don't pray, don't do that. You go to God first. Don't just take a preacher's understanding and interpretation. You can try to read this Word. The Bible said that it is spiritually discerned. The Word of God is spiritually discerned. So, I mean, it's good to have Jesus on your side when you're trying to understand. That's why you got 50 so many different denominations. Because everyone's trying to pick it up and take their own understanding from it. That's why we need Jesus to help us. So we should always, before we read the Scripture, we should always ask Jesus, Jesus, would you open our understanding that we can all come to the same mind and conclusion of your Word? That's the main thing. Because if you don't open our understanding, the Bible says, the Bible talks about, Jesus said, I thank thee, O Father, for the highest. Hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but has revealed them unto babes. And Jesus said, blessed are you for your eyes see. Blessed are you for you see. So, I mean, it's a blessing to be able to see. Alright. We're going to go to, I want to go to, we're going to go to, Mark 1. Mark 1. He made a statement. I'm in the affirmative and I'm following. You know, because, hey, when I hear something, the Bible says the ear trieth words like the mouth trieth meats. I just can't, when it comes to the Word of God, this is what God has given me, and I can't just let someone just come up here and twist the Scriptures without coming behind it and correcting it. But I do plan on getting, what's my time? Because I do got some stuff I do want to bring forth. What's my 23 minutes. All right. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. He made the statement that the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said they did not received the baptism. He made the statement they did not, because he asked me if they did or something like that in one of his questions. And so he comes and I heard him say that they did not. You cannot say that. The Pharisees and Sadducees were at John's baptism didn't make up the whole Pharisee and Sadducee sect. We don't know. All we know is one thing. The Pharisees, the ones that John was talking to, were being baptized. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, verse 8. He says, I indeed have, past tense, have baptized who? You, with water. But he shall baptize who? You, with the Holy Ghost. The same ones that John baptized was the same ones that John promised. He says, I have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That wasn't the apostles. And if they were there, maybe they were there. Maybe some apostles were there, but there were some publicans that came to be baptized of them, we know. There was different ones that came, but we know publicans were baptized different things. Alright, and so he made the statement that, that it was the only ones that got baptized was the apostles, and I think said the household of Cornelius. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God will stand. I don't have to have fancy anything here. All I got to do is the Word of God is going to stand by itself. It'll stand. Anybody can come by and twist Scriptures and flip things around and talk a whole lot of this, that, and the other, but the Word of God will stand. Let me tell you now. This Word is going to stand. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Are you guys disciples? Well, here come Paul and he finds disciples. Praise the Lord, you're disciples. Praise God. He asked him a question. I ask you the same question. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said unto him, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Our preacher said, that's not for us today. And he said unto them, that's my paraphrase. I know he didn't say that. This is my paraphrase. This is me bringing it to your modern time. But he said unto them, they haven't heard of it. They never heard of the Holy Ghost at this time. And he said unto them, under what then were you baptized? And they said, under John's baptism. So the way you're baptized made a difference. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after, that is on Christ Jesus. Look what happened in verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized, re-baptized again. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And what happened? And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. The Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And if you think the Holy Ghost is something else than what I just told you, that's what the Bible says when the Holy Ghost came on, what they did. When the Spirit of God came on them, it was like Saul. When Samuel anointed Saul to be king of Israel, he told him, I want you to go up by the, he said, I want you to go up and do this and do that and go up by the prophets. He said, when you do, the Spirit of the Lord come upon you and you become a new man. And he began to prophesy. He said, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy, do we practice this in our churches today? Do we practice this in our churches today? Well, we do, but do we all do this? We're supposed to what? Contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Was this the faith that was once delivered? And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Look here what happened. And they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, because how can I prove they were baptized with the Holy Spirit? Look at Acts, the second chapter. The Bible said the Holy Spirit, when it came on them, what did they do? They spoke with tongues and prophesied. We find in Acts, the 10th chapter, when the household of Cornelius got the Holy Ghost, what happened? The Bible said that the circumcision which came with Peter was astonished as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How do you know? For they heard them speak with tongues and prophesy. They heard them speak with tongues. And here, and that was the Spirit baptism. We know that was the Spirit baptism that He promised to them. And yes, it was fulfilled in Acts, the second chapter, when the apostles got it. And then Peter stood up and gave it to them and said, he said, repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for the promise unto you and your children. And I proved in the first state with the Scripture, not with something I feel or something I believe, something that's in the Scripture. I proved to you in the Scripture that what the Gentiles got in the 10th chapter of Acts was the same thing that they got, and was the same thing that was promised to us. Because it said the gift of the Holy Ghost. It says clearly in Acts chapter 10 that when the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured on them, they spoke with tongues. He called it the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 38, 2 and verse 38, he said that you shall, if you were baptized in Jesus' name, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many different gifts of the Holy Ghost are there? If he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and the Gentiles received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they spoke with tongues, and it was just called the Spirit baptism, if the gift of the Holy Ghost was Spirit baptism in Acts the 10th chapter, then the gift of the Holy Ghost is Spirit baptism in Acts the 2nd chapter. And it was promised to us. Not to the apostles. Peter, the apostle Peter said, the promise is unto you. You. And your children. And as many that are, that, and then he broke it down on down the time. He said, as many that are far off as the Lord our God shall call. That's Bible. That's Bible. So we find that the disciples in the upper coast of Ephesus was baptized. Every time you're seeing two things happen when people are getting this thing. Two things happen. One thing, they're baptized, they repent, or they get baptized when they hear the word and they get baptized. Baptism is an act of repentance. John preached the baptism of repentance. But every time you see two things, you see, in Acts the 2nd chapter, you see, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ, and you see, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And we find out when these two things happen. Look in Acts the 8th chapter. Let's look at the 8th chapter of Acts. Two things happen here. And Jesus said it. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit. Alright? Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, they believed and they were baptized. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. They were baptized, they believed, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Verse 16, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Then the Simon that saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. He saw something happen there. Acts chapter 10, I asked the question to Mr. McClain. I asked him, can an individual receive the gift of the Holy Ghost before he is baptized? Listen, my question, this is how I wrote it. Can an individual receive the gift of the Holy Ghost before he's baptized? Acts chapter 10, let's read. Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 44. If you have been taught that you receive the Holy Spirit upon water baptism, you have been taught wrong. You do not receive the gift. You can receive it upon water baptism, but it can happen beforehand. That was my question. I'm going to prove it right here. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on what? The Gentiles also was poured out what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what I asked. I said, can they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Can they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost before baptism? It says right here, it was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How do you know? For they heard them speak. You see how that's showing how they had it? They received the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid what? Water. They've received the Holy Ghost. Look what he says. He said, can any man forbid water that he should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And we know what they received was the gift of the Holy Ghost, because it said it in Acts 10:45. He said it was the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the question I asked was, can you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost before water baptism? He said no. But here's, people, are you not seeing the flaws in the doctrine? I hope to God that you would not look unto a man, not to me, not to anybody. I say look unto this Scripture. Look unto this Scripture. I believe in the Bible. And if I've brought you anything else, I've not brought you no presentation, I've not done nothing fancy, I've not brought no tapes or anything, all I'm bringing to you is Bible. Bible. 100% Bible. That's it. Bible. So if anyone doesn't believe anything I say, then you're not believing. My words are not my words. You just said, my doctrine is not mine, but Him that sent me. I don't have no philosophy or words. Only thing I put in my own is that what this Bible said, I have a testimony that has happened in my life. My life testifies, I have received what this Bible has promised me. That's the only thing I've brought. I didn't say I felt anything. I just said what this Bible promised on Holy Spirit baptism has happened to me. What Jesus promised, what Peter promised, when Peter said, repent and be baptized, everyone. You know how, when I got the Holy Ghost, let me tell you what I did. When I got the Holy Ghost, I read the Scripture that said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what they got in the 10th chapter of Acts when they heard Him speak with tongues. It was the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I seen that and I said, if I repent and I'm baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, He said, you shall. You shall. So I held on to that. And so I believed God. And you know what? That's what He did for me. His Word is true. His Word is right. Every Word of God is right. I tried to write down His list. He had a list that He put up there. And I tried to write it down, but he was too fast for me. I didn't get Him down. Or maybe I was too slow on writing. Oh yeah, go ahead, put it up. Put it up. The Gnostic, Mormons, Catholics. Okay. Alright. He says, detectable, appreciate that guys. I appreciate that. Alright, I tried to write it all down, I got a bunch of them. It says, detectable distinctions. David Pep versus the Holy Spirit working among the other group. He says, is this Holy Spirit working among all these groups, and on what basis do you discredit their claims? He's got Gnostics, Mormons, Catholics, Quakers, Shakers, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, Christian Science. I think he said that was the Worldwide Church of God and the First Pentecostal Church of North Little Rock. And so, what? There's only one thing that I wish you'd call me. I could have had one more. I want one more up there, but you didn't put it up there. I'm gonna put it there for you. It's hold on, right here. No. The church at Corinth. The church at Ephesus. Didn't put those up there. What, you know, I mean, we can say, what's the difference between these churches and the church at Corinth? The church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus claimed to speak in tongues. I said they claimed to speak in tongues. The Bible says they did. Or at least the disciples that Paul came across and he asked them if they had the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said they didn't know. And then when he told them about how they were baptized, you know, how they should have been baptized, you know, believing on the Lord, they were rebaptized. And the Bible said in verse 6, 19 and 6, that Paul laid his hands upon them. The Holy Ghost came on them and they spoke with tongues. They were spirit baptized. They should be on there too. I don't know about all these, but I know one that should be on there. I know one that did speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians, I know, spoke in tongues because we see where Paul was telling, hey, it needs to be in order. He just speaketh in unknown tongues, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So I don't know about all these Mormons and all this. Hey, I tell you what, if God fills somebody with the Holy Ghost, praise God, maybe He's doing it because the Bible said when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He'll lead you and guide you in all truth. If they really got the true, genuine Holy Ghost, I'm persuaded they're going to come out of that false doctrine. God don't give you the Holy Ghost because you're right. He gives you the Holy Ghost to be right. But I'm not saying they're of God or these actually do speak in the true tongue of God. They could all be false teachers or whatever. I don't know. I don't go around studying Mormonisms and so forth of that nature, but I do know one thing. This Bible right here tells me that I can speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance when I'm baptized by the Spirit. And it's promised to all them that are repentant and baptized in Jesus' name. I don't know about all these other folks, but I'll tell you one thing. The church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, and the church here in Ward, and the church in North Little Rock, I don't know the First Pentecostal, I don't know really know too many people. I know one or two people in that church. I really don't know much about it or anything like that. I'm not going to discredit nobody or run nobody down. All I can say is that I serve God, and I live for God with all my heart, and study the Scriptures and search the Scriptures out, and whether or not what these guys do or whatever, I can't attest to that. I don't know. I can't say something's false and just to say it's false. And now you can say, well, but now people are teaching false doctrines and are teaching false things and saying they have the Holy Ghost. You know, this church over here says they got the Holy Ghost, but they're teaching false doctrine. God don't give you the Holy Ghost because you're right. He gives you the Holy Ghost so you can be right. Give you an example. Did Peter ever say anything wrong? Did Peter ever do anything wrong after he had the Holy Ghost? Do you not remember whenever he separated himself? Whenever the Jews would come, he'd separate himself from the Gentiles and eat at another table? And Paul said, I withstood Peter to the face? Didn't mean he's always right. The Holy Ghost wasn't given because, well, you're always right and you'll never make a mistake again. God gives the Holy Spirit because He said when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will lead you and guide you into all truth. Doesn't mean that you're already in all truth. Doesn't mean that whether or not you get it, you can get the Holy Ghost at any church. But now, if you really get the true, genuine Holy Ghost and you follow the Holy Ghost, you're going to come up out of that false doctrine. That's why God gives you the Holy Ghost, not because you're right, not because of stamp of approval, but to help you to get right. All right. Now he keeps on saying over and over and over again. I thought I pulled the scripture out last time, and I thought it would have stopped this foolishness. But we're going to go back again to Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. He said, "We were asking." That's what he said. Heard it with my own ears. First he said, "Well, I'm not seeking this," but then he said, "We were asking on Monday and Tuesday night." We were asking. You can look it up in the tape. So we were asking. This is what he was asking. All right. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. He said, "Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign of thee. And he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." Sign seekers, Jesus said, was an evil. People that are sign seekers have fallen after signs, seeking after signs. Jesus said that was an evil and adulterous generation. And I have been asked, it says, we were asking Monday and Tuesday, seeking after signs. God said that's evil. When you come to God looking for a miracle, you come to God by faith, not seeking a sign. We would see a sign of thee. Jesus said that's an evil and adulterous generation. Sign seekers, Jesus Christ had nothing good to say about that. All right? Thank you, Jesus. I want to go to. How many minutes do I got left now? How many minutes do I got? 7 minutes left. Okay, I want to go to. Might as well go to 2 Timothy chapter. 2 Timothy. Thank you, Jesus. Beginning in 2 Timothy. Bear with me. Let me see. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse. Verse 1. Let's just go with it from the beginning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1 says, Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Having a form of godliness, but deny that power. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Verse 6. For of this sort are they which keep in the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away of diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. That's why you've got to get this thing from God. You have so many different denominations, so many people teaching different things. And nobody can come together. Why? Because it's not, so many different reasons. There's so many different reasons. But the thing about it is, We got to get to the place where we say, you know what? I'm going to set my own understanding. The Bible said, lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. That's why we do need to pray. We need to say, God, you show me. What's your light in this word? Is the Holy Spirit baptism for me today? I'm not talking about, let me feel something, Lord. Let me have it. No, I'm talking about, show me in your word. Convince me with your word, Lord. Give me the word and show me that it's for me today. Ask God. Ask God. I mean, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I mean, are we to the point now that, I mean, I know they say they don't believe in miracles, but hey, I mean, will God answer our prayers? Will God answer our prayers? Ask God to show us, Lord, if this, what this man's up here saying right now, show me, open my eyes to the Word. Let me tell you something. When God opens your eyes to something, I don't know if you've ever done it before, but sometimes you'll read things over and over and over and over, and all of a sudden you looked at it one time and it just, boom, just jumped right out at you. God showed it to you. You read that thing, flipped it inside out, upside down, and read it, but you couldn't see it. That's why, because God wasn't showing you. But then when God shows you, it sticks out. People, there's two things that Jesus said, John 3 and 5. First before I go there, I want to go to Hebrews. What was that number? Was that 5? Well, first I want to go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. And there's one thing I do. I want to try to hit first the epistle of John chapter 4, because even though I'm on the affirmative, he asked me if I'd hit that, and I'm going to try to if I get time. All right, first epistle of Hebrews, I mean, the only epistle of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Remember now, let's think here. What did Jesus tell us? To earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That's what we need to do, is contend for the faith. The one that was delivered to the saints the first time. That's what we're supposed to contend for. Well, let's read about that doctrine. It says, chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. This is the doctrine of Christ. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. Repentance is a part of the doctrine of Christ. Well, how can I say that? Well, Peter said it. He said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, repentance is a part of the doctrine. All right, he says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. There's your faith toward God. Look at chapter verse 2. And of the doctrine of baptisms. That's the foundation of the doctrine of Christ, baptism. Now, I believe there's only one baptism. I believe there's only one baptism. That's in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the only baptism you can do. The only baptism you can do, you can't baptize with the Holy Ghost. He's the one that baptized. That's what John said. He said, I baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. But what did he say the doctrine of Christ was? He says, a doctrine of baptisms. Now, I know Ephesians 4 and 5 says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one baptism. There's only one way you can be baptized, and that's in the name of Jesus Christ. But spirit baptism. And I asked the fellow that follows me to please try to deal with the scriptures that I'm talking about. Deal with the scriptures when I get off here, please. I ask you. Because I've dealt with many different things, and he's accused me of contradicting myself. But you know, when you say someone contradicts themselves, show where they contradict. You know, because that is hypnotic. That's hypnotic when I get up here and just start doing hypnotic things and saying, you know, he didn't do this and he didn't do that and he contradicted himself. Well, if I contradict myself, take the Bible and show where I contradict myself. Don't just say it, you know, because then that puts things in people's mind. Yeah, he contradicted himself. But no one ever, I mean, show it. Bring it in the Bible. Let's go into the Scripture and dig. If I contradict myself, prove it in the Word of God. Because that's what I've been doing. Even though I'm on the affirmative, I've been proving what he said in his statement, even though that's supposed to be my part tomorrow. But I have the right to do that if I'm on the affirmative. Alright? Wherefore, laying aside, he said, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of doctrines of baptisms, of laying on of hands. Yeah, that's what happened. That's what the church did. Whenever you see over in the 8th chapter of Acts, they went over and laid their hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And Simon saw it. You see over there in the 19th chapter, they laid their hands on them. The Holy Ghost came on them. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. That's spirit baptism. Same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost. They spoke with tongues. Alright? He says, this is what we do if God permit. So, how many minutes do I got left now? A minute and 8 seconds. Well, this is my last. I like to be last, because someone come behind you and just take a bunch of scriptures and throw them out there and not really rightly divide the word of truth and just say something and the last person says. So I always hate being last, but I'm gonna be last tonight. So I have to sit down and listen to them say stuff and not be able to respond to them. But maybe, Lord willing, I can respond tomorrow night when I'm in the negative. But I ask you is this. I love this man right here. I have nothing against him outside of what he teaches. and I love you all. And the only reason I'm here, is out of love. I'm not here so I can puff my chest and say, I was right. See, there, I won. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to plant a seed, and I know I've done something tonight. I know I've done something. I don't know what. It might be 5 years from now, and the Lord show you something else. If I could just plant a seed, just a seed, I don't ever have to see it grow up, and someone come behind me 5 years from now, 5 months, 2 days, it don't matter. And someone waters that seed, and God gives the increase. You might not understand the fullness of what I'm saying right now, but one day somebody here will. I know, because I believe the Lord done this for a reason. But nevertheless, I'm here because I love you, and I want to just, bring to you the Word of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Until tomorrow. Peace be.